All right, thank you, ladies, for that. Let's turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 9 this evening, and it won't be long. Be 15 minutes. Give me 15 minutes. Acts chapter 9 this evening. And again, thank you, church, for just your faithfulness to support through prayer, through finances, just your sacrificial giving. I know many of you who just gave, even though you don't have young people of your own going. You heard of families in need. You heard that there were some young people who they were going to struggle to be there if they weren't supported. And you gave, you came to the rescue, and appreciate that. And I know that that many of them were deeply affected by the preaching of the word, just the fellowship, just the event itself. And so I appreciate the church for just for being gracious that way and being sensitive to the Lord. And you know, it is, as was already spoken tonight, it's an honor to affect a generation. You know, we only have one generation, right? It's only our generation that we can serve God in. But the faith ought to continue, and the way we do that is by passing it on. And so just that opportunity this week. And you know, you think about it, church is a pretty strange place. You think about maybe many of you grew up in church and it's all that you've ever known. But you think about maybe coming into a congregation or coming into a place where you don't know anyone, and you come in and you see everyone, they seem to know the songs, everyone does. They seem to just know where to sit and know how things go. And you might come into it and you might just feel a little bit, you know, like a stranger. You might feel a little bit that you're sort of displaced because you don't know really anything, how things go. And yet, when it comes to it, it's part of what the church is called to do, is to bring those in that God is bringing and to help them feel that they can be part of it and even at times come alongside. And in a church, there's a great need for different types of people, but there's a great need for this type of person. And we're going to study just one of the personalities here of the early church that I think was so really pivotal, and yet he didn't write any portion of Scripture. He wasn't someone that you would, if you thought about the apostles and the key figures of the early church, he wouldn't be the first one that you would really think about. He might not even be in your top 10, top 12, but he's quite prominent actually when it comes to it. And I want to talk a little bit this evening here in Acts chapter 9, and we'll look through the book of Acts a little bit tonight if you don't mind. But look at verse 26, and we'll start to get a picture of it. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. And you would understand, if you know the history of the church, you know that Saul of Tarsus was a great persecutor of the church. And yet, miraculously, as he was just traveling, he had an encounter with the Lord. He saw the resurrected Christ, and the resurrected Christ himself challenged him about the very things that were happening in his heart. He was asked, why kick against the pricks? And there was something that was pricking the heart of Saul. And evidently, he got saved. And yet, here he was. His whole reputation was the persecutor. And he comes in and he tries to join himself with the other believers, those Christians, the church. And yet, here he was, someone that in many ways was known for the wrong things. And their only prior knowledge of Saul was that he was this murderer, this great persecutor. And now he's claiming to be one of those that he went to persecute. Now that's a pretty good trick if you think about it. So you would understand the skepticism that he would be coming into the congregation now. And so look at verse 27. And we know, obviously we read in hindsight, the recorded word of God, that Saul was fair dinkum saved. He had gotten saved, but that was unknown to them. But notice this person here, but Barnabas took him. and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And evidently, Barnabas was listening. Barnabas had heard of the things that had happened to Saul, and he was relaying now to the rest of the disciples here in verse 27, the very things that had happened to Paul, and he was with them in verse 28, coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And so, really, it was Barnabas. And I want to encourage you tonight. You know, we heard a lot of the young people, and maybe in your households, maybe within the week as you run into them, that they might share with you the very things that are on their hearts. You know what it's going to require as God works in people, as God works in these young people, they're going to need someone like Barnabas. They're going to need someone who, when they say things and say some things that maybe you would never think they would say, that they won't approach them with some sort of skepticism, but actually buoyed by the things that they've heard surrounding their experience, just have a little bit of encouragement and faith to be able to get alongside them. And you know, God's going to bring people along our way that you might initially not warm up to, and you might initially start to understand a little bit of their background. It might not be your typical, it might be something that's a little bit different to your experience of that. But what's going to require is someone who's like Barnabas. Someone who's going to be like this fella named Barnabas, who we're going to call Barney tonight for short, because he's a friend. And he's going to come along, and you need to be like Barney. You're going to be like someone that can come along and encourage. And look at the first mention of him in Acts chapter 4. Look at Acts chapter 4. And notice some characteristics about Barnabas. And you think about, again, the early church, how it really formed. It came at the day of Pentecost, and then all of the different languages were being heard in that time. And suddenly all these people from different walks of life were forming this group of people that they didn't know about, but they knew then had become the church. And everyone was coming from different walks of life. And what had happened was there were those who were in great need in the early church as a result of their conversion. You know, it really was the day that when you came to Christ, there was a great cost to that. And sometimes that's a little bit sanitized in our world today. There's not, in our Western world, there's not always the case that there's a cost to your Christianity. And you sort of just slide into that a little bit. And yet there are still today many who there is a cost. And there were those in the church in this time who they were paying a cost for being a Christian. And one of those that had been converted, had come to the place here of knowing Christ, of being part of that, is the fellow named Barnabas, or Barney as we call him. And notice again, verse 36, there was a distribution made in verse 35, and those that they gave to the needs that were in the church. And notice verse 36, and Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas. Okay, so actually his initial name is Joseph, but the Bible records for us that they surnamed him, or really nicknamed him, Barnabas. Why? Because he's had such a character that here is what his name meant. Notice there in verse 36, which is, but being interpreted, the son of consolation or the son of comfort. There was just something about Barnabas that when he came alongside someone, he could console, or he could comfort them, he could encourage them in their time of need. And there was a great need right here. And in fact, the Bible tells us that he was a Levite, he was of the country of Cyprus. And yet, he was also this in verse 37, having land, sold it and brought it the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. You know, he was a type of person who was sacrificial in his supportiveness. You know, he wasn't just someone who, when he heard about the need, he just passed it up and it was just someone else's responsibility. No, it was just something in Barnabas as a son of consolation that he went out to meet the need himself. That it wasn't just someone else's responsibility. You know, sometimes when we hear of the challenge like we got tonight about the decisions made, and sometimes when we see people coming in, we're thinking, well, it's someone else's ministry. Well, someone else's ministry, you know, it's the youth ministry. I mean, that's their thing. But actually, what was recorded for us in Scripture here was the pivotal personality that we all, every church needs. And that's a personality like Barney. Someone who's just not going to pass up and pass the buck like it's not his responsibility. No, no, he took it upon himself. And later on we see that he took Saul. He took this one who had a very checkered past, so to speak, took the official, but who many had questions and doubts about. And he went and he was sacrificial, but also, really, as we think about it, he was supportive. He was supportive when receiving others. And, you know, Barnabas was willing to take the risk and support someone that made a decision for Christ regardless of their reputation. And, you know, sometimes we can be a little skeptical. And here's how it plays out. Sometimes we'll hear from our young people and they made a tremendous decision, or they share something that's sort of different to what they would normally say. And here's how we'll think. Ah, that's just emotionalism. Oh, they're just being emotional. I mean, you're away from camp. They didn't have their phones. They must have been like emotionally drained that week, and they made that decision. And you start to then be skeptical about what God did, as if God can't do that. And as if God can't bring someone with a checkered past to come to seek the truth and seek some sort of answer to life, as if God can't do that. But you know, Barnabas had a different mindset. Barnabas had a mindset that if someone was going to come in, they're going to find out about them and believe that God can, believe that God is able. And I'm so glad that over the course of my life, even though there were times where there were no Barnabases in the moment, that God eventually had some Barneys in the congregation that I grew up in. You know, we can be a little skeptical of others at times. And you know, no doubt, you think about the Apostle Paul, who was Saul. No wonder, no doubt he had questions. No doubt there were things that he was a little bit, you know, if you know a little bit about the Apostle Paul later on, we know that he was long-winded. So Paul liked to talk. You ever get around someone and you just, a simple, hello, how you going, turns into a 30-minute download of that week. Right? I picture Paul a bit that way. You know, Paul probably painstakingly described every moment of his conversion. Now, we had a guy, and bless his heart, he ended up being a missionary over in the Philippines. But we had a guy in the church I grew up in, and every time he gave his testimony, he gave his whole testimony, right? He gave from when he got saved to the times, and then he finally said the thing that he needed to say. And, you know, it was just his characteristic, and I can imagine Paul a bit that way. And yet Barnabas had the patience to receive him. Barnabas had the character to just stick by Paul. And he went and he took him when others wouldn't. You know, again, if I can connect this to our young people, you know, sometimes we can say things like, oh, well, things might change and you better. And I think we mean well. I think we mean well to just warn them that, you know, it's not just an easy decision. There's going to be times. But I hope that we would also have just an attitude that, well, if that's going to be the case, let's just get around them. Let's just get beside them and let's encourage them. Let's show grace and let's show a little bit of patience and let's show a little bit of belief. And you know, I think Barnabas had the right attitude about God to begin with. He knew that God can work, but you know, God works over a process. And sometimes, you know, they're going to come away and they're going to make the decisions again and again and again. And they're going to make that and they're going to get to that place where they're going to have to recommit some things. But listen, that's sometimes the process. And you'd rather that they're making it again rather than just completely walking away. Right? And we want to get beside. And when God brings those that perhaps are a little bit different, and God brings those that perhaps just maybe as we find out they've got a little bit of a checkered past, something that maybe we can't immediately relate to, I hope that we would have the attitude like Barney. To just come alongside and be supportive to receive others. You know, I think that speaks to the fact that he had a right attitude about himself. And we don't know a great deal about his background. We know that he was a Levite. He was in that special class of Jews that really served in that capacity in the temple and so forth. We know that he was from Cyprus, so he wasn't from Jerusalem immediately. But what we know is really in his actions about him, he had a right attitude about himself. See, God had to change Barnabas too. And some of us were so far removed from our salvation, we're so far removed from our imperfections, because now we've got some maturity and suddenly we're skeptical. We're just skeptics. And we got to get back sometimes to just the simplicity of faith, of understanding that we've had to journey. And so what we see, he was sacrificial in his own possessions. He was supportive when receiving others. We know later on in Acts chapter 11 that the group, Jerusalem church, sends him over to the church in Antioch. They had heard that the Gentiles were getting saved, that they were having this great revival there. And notice here in verse 22, Acts chapter 11, verse 22. Then tidings of these came into the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And notice who they sent. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, and who, when he came, had seen the grace of God, was glad. All right, again, it just seemed to be there was a bit of skepticism about what was happening with the Gentiles. So they sent Barnabas over to Antioch, and he was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. And here's a description of Barnabas: for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. But notice his attitude. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. For when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. An amazing church in Antioch. Amazing church. That's where the scriptures really blossomed. In fact, we can trace the lineage of our King James Bible to those given in Antioch, the Antiochian line. And we understand that this was a place where things were happening. But you know what? Barnabas went and he was glad, but then he went looking for help. You know what Barnabas had? He was spiritual when viewing the ministry. It wasn't just about him. It wasn't about the fact that he had been saved. And now God was doing something different to what he would thought. And so now he was viewing ministry, and he had a right motive for ministry. He was glad because it was growing. God was doing something. It wasn't in his vicinity. You know, here's what we do sometimes. If it's not within our purview and within our area of ministry and our area of family and our area, we just sort of go, well, that's good for them. But listen, that's not the right attitude. If you're going to be a Barney, you're going to have an attitude. It's great for the work. It's great for God. And we rejoice and we're gladdened when others are getting the working and the growing and the ministering. But then he didn't just stay there. He understood the assignment and he went and he found Saul. You know what? He also had a right resourcing of ministry. He understood for the work to continue, he's going to need others. He's going to need to get beside, and he needs to go with others who are filled with the Holy Ghost. He needed to go with others who had a heart for ministry. And you understand that's how God works. God will work by working in others and then collaborating those that can labor together. And we ought to be open about that. He was spiritual when viewing the ministry. I'm going to fast forward because I said 15 minutes. The next thing was Acts 13. He was sent to preach the gospel. We know the very first person named in that list was Barnabas. Okay, but then he was also given this task. He was a spokesperson in time of contention. In Acts 15, they were debating this whole idea of, can Gentiles get saved? And so you know who they send? They send Barnabas and Paul. They send them to the council there to just get things right. But here's the last one I want you to turn to. Look at Acts 15. Acts 15. Thanks for being patient tonight. Acts 15, and notice verses 36 to 41, and I find this whole thing interesting. So we know that Paul and Barnabas were sent, right, from as they prayed and they fasted, the Holy Ghost said, send Barnabas and Paul for the work of the ministry. Separate them. So they're gone now, and they're about to embark on their second missionary journey. And notice verse 36, in some days after Paul said unto Barnabas. So there was a bit of a changing of guard here. Remember, Barnabas was the one that was the encourager. Barnabas was the one that came alongside Paul. And now Paul was taking the lead. You know, what happens sometimes is you minister to someone and God sort of switches it around over time. And actually, I want to be honest with you tonight. That's a hope for me. You know, I think about, again, some of those who led this week. And I'm telling you, if God allows it and God works in their life and there's an elevating of them, I'd be more than glad to submit and allow them to lead. We ought to have that attitude, by the way. And so Barnabas had that, and notice what happened. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark, John Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And notice this, and the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the church. So here they split up. They were so... Barney stays in character, doesn't he? He just believed in John Mark. He just believed that John Mark was suitable. And so rather than sort of putting John Mark aside, he just separates. He just goes, and he goes with John Mark. They go and spread the gospel to Cyprus. And then here, Paul takes Silas, and they go to Syria and Cilicia. So there's a splitting up, and that's a sad thing, but you understand that they kept on with the gospel. You know, it wasn't as if Barnabas allowed that to just derail what he was going to do. No, he was all about the gospel. He was all about the work, but he was all about the people whom he believed in, and that's a point I want to make. You know, sometimes we just have a sense about someone, and, you know, he was stubborn enough in a good way to continue to believe in Mark, to continue to believe that Mark wasn't just someone that was not worthy. No, he was someone. And don't we all need someone that way? Someone who just will just stick by you. You might not be perfect. And maybe because of his experience with Paul, maybe his experience with that, he's already grown to understand what's needed. And Paul might have had a difference of opinion. Neither of them left the ministry. They kept going. But Barnabas stuck by John Mark. And that's an amazing thing to me. He was willing to go on for the ministry with Mark. He was willing to allow Paul to choose others that he deemed fitting. He didn't say to Paul, no, Paul, listen, you're in sin. No, they went. They just went their separate ways. And I want to say to you that he was actually vindicated in the end. Because really what he did, he helped prove Mark. Because later on in 2 Timothy 4:11, and if you know the timeline, this is way later in the life of Apostle Paul. Here's what the Bible says, 2 Timothy 4:11. And maybe Barnabas is well and truly gone. Maybe he's gone on to glory. We don't know. Because after this, in Acts 15, there's no more mention of Barnabas. He had taken this journey with John Mark. But notice Paul's saying now, only Luke is with me. He says, there's no one else with me. And then notice what he says, take Mark. That's the same Mark. He says, take Mark and bring him with thee. Notice his commendation, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. You know, he just stuck with John Mark. And when no one else would give Paul a chance, and even when Paul wouldn't give John Mark a chance, there was a Barney in their lives. And because of a bloke named Barney, the encourager, the son of consolation, two men went on to fulfill their great potential. And even Paul admitted, you know, I was wrong about John Mark. I didn't think he'd do any good, but you know, he's profitable for me in the ministry. And you know, some of us, we're going to be skeptical. When we're skeptical, we'll see our young people sort of ebb and flow. They're going to have some high days of just being on fire for God. There's going to be weeks where they're going to feel like they've failed, where they're going to feel like they haven't really been worthy of the decision or whatever else. And some of us just need to be a Barney in their lives and stick it through, because at the end, we all need someone to come alongside us. In the end, in a church, in a youth group, as God brings people along our way, then we need Barneys in our lives. And maybe you need to be a Barney. And you need to be a Barnabas who will just come alongside and just believe in those that maybe no one else is giving a chance to. And so I want to encourage you tonight as we close, get around each other, get around those that God is bringing your way and encourage them. You know, just make a commitment to be beside them and make a commitment to encourage them along the way, because you never know who you're working with. You never know who you've sat next to. You never know what words of encouragement will, what difference that will make as each of us endeavor to fulfill the potential that God has for us. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, again. Lord, just for the opportunity to be here together. Thank you for these young people. And Lord, just the tremendous week we've had. We just praise you and give you all the glory for that. We know that it's all you. I pray that you continue to just work in each of our lives. And I pray, dear Lord, that, Lord, you would cause us, each and every one of us, Lord, to be a Barnabas, Lord, someone who can just come alongside, who will be a son of comfort, of consolation, and just meet the needs and meet the those that are coming along and maybe just to encourage and to help along in their journey for you. Pray that you'd help each and every one of us to be that way. Lord, we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.